with dating and the staying curious, the curiosity is also about ourselves, right? Like, you were wanting attention from this person and you didn't get it, but you can be curious about yourself. Like, it's not about that person. It's about the thing that you desired that was not being fulfilled.
Welcome to another episode of Happy Brain. My name is Sean Block, and thank you for joining us as we explore the fun side to mental health by digging into those fun hacks and fun tips to make your mental health journey more enjoyable and your brain a little happier. Welcome back to Happy Brain. My name is Sean Block. So glad you're here for today's dating episode. Yes, this is being released around Valentine's Day 2023. And we're talking with Erin Hartz about all things dating happy. She has her own podcast called Self-Care for Survivors of Trauma. And she's been through a lot. And she talks about some keys to dating happy, including setting boundaries when you're dating, having the right energy when you're swiping and doing all your things dating related, and also being very intentional about dating while you're going through it. So sit back, enjoy this conversation I have with Erin about all things dating and all things you can do in dating to make your brains happier. Enjoy.
Can you give us a, like, What's an example of a date or something that just didn't work? Like the opposite of working, you know, what didn't work?
I think the first person that I dated after I was in recovery, I guess you could say, or after my divorce and realizing that I had some codependency issues, I was like a year and a half, maybe 2 years in recovery. So I thought, well, maybe I should try dating again, you know, like maybe let's see how this works out. And the first person I was interested in was someone who ended up being, I think he was at least 15 years older than me. And I found out pretty quickly, maybe while we were dating or of course right after, that nobody liked this guy. Like nobody liked him. Like I didn't see it. You know what I mean? I could not see it at first. And I think I fell into the trap of when he would verbally praise me, I fell into that trap of believing that. And I think now I can see when that's happening and I question it or don't like it. And I don't take it as a compliment if I just meet someone and they say something kind of out of place or they say that it makes me go like, huh, that doesn't sound like it. That could be a lie or he could be faking. Like if I'm thinking that he could be faking, probably that person is, because when we're with a genuine person, we don't usually think things like that, you know? So we have to really be in touch with our intuition. So I think that was one of the first signs when I look back, like, and I was not comfortable with this person that much, but I think I was like so starved for attention and affection that it just was hard to say no to someone that wanted to be with me. And he seemed, we had a lot in common. Like we both were runners. So we went running together a few times. And then, you know, so I didn't like completely jump right into a serious relationship or anything, but he was pushing things forward like way faster than I wanted them to go. And so that made me really uncomfortable. So that's another big red flag, you know.
Got it. And so you just didn't, you said intuition. I, for some reason, that's just been coming up. Every episode I've been doing recently is intuition, intuition, intuition. And did you have that instinct and just kind of put it aside at the time? Or did you kind of realize that kind of afterwards?
I had the instinct at the time and I didn't listen to it. And so I was there dating this person and waking up in the middle of the night and like just feeling lousy, like someone's going to steal from me. Someone's going to like just kind of feeling in fear, like just, and now I look back and I see the signs and it's so clear to me. But then I was like, what is going on? Why am I feeling this way? You know, I wasn't listening to that intuition.
So, okay. So we kind of, we know that's something not to do is kind of follow your intuition. That's pretty hard to do. You talk about being curious. So what does curiosity mean to you? So you're on a date. What are you curious about the person, how you're feeling? What does that mean to you?
Okay. Yeah. So I was thinking about like tips to keep myself happy while dating. Right. So like, We were first talking about kind of like following your intuition. Maybe I'll go back to that one in a little bit. But yeah, the second one would be to like stay curious. So that means to me a couple different things. One thing it means is I have to kind of check my feelings going into the date. Like, am I curious about this person? If I'm not, then that's probably a dead end right there. And then if I'm kind of medium, I'm like, okay, let me open myself up to being like, who is this human being? Like, let's take all the like needs and wants and desires and whatever it is that I want in a partnership away. And let's just say, hey, I'm going to meet this other human being and let's just get curious about meeting another person and what their life's like. Like, we're all so similar, but then we're all so different too. And we have all our little idiosyncrasies. So I think if we stay curious and try to enjoy just meeting another person and hearing about their life and seeing what their life is like, it exposes us to kind of an open mind feeling that I think you can't go wrong with that. Like, you're winning just by being open.
So, okay. So we kind of follow our intuition. We're kind of curious. So probably when you're on the date, if you're kind of curious and while you're getting to know the person, you might have some intuition if you want to, you know, get to know them more or take it further or things like that. And then you talk about boundaries. So when you're on a date, let's say your intuition tells you, yeah, I like this guy. He's pretty cool. And I'm really interested and curious about him. When you talk about boundaries, what does that mean?
Yeah. So boundaries, I feel like for me as a person that follows self-care, you know, that's my podcast, Self-Care for Survivors of Trauma. Boundaries are so important. And you know what? They happen before the date, right? Because I've learned throughout the years, like what I'm comfortable with, how much physicality maybe I'm okay with at what period of time. Like, it's not a completely fixed thing, but I have researched and read a lot about it. And it does seem like you need about 2 months of knowing someone before you can kind of judge whether or not A, you're compatible, or B, they're a trustworthy individual. And I know I don't want to make dopamine connections with people, you know, before I know they're a trustworthy person, because that is not something I want to fall into again. And I know if I do make those connections, it's going to be really hard for me to leave the relationship if I find out later that this person's not trustworthy. So like the boundaries I'm saying, I guess, is like my own personal ones, thinking about when is it okay for me to feel like I can do this, or what I kind of have to settle those in my own head beforehand. And it's not just me like making them up on willy-nilly. Like, it's from kind of practice and like what I feel comfortable with. And if I feel it deep inside myself, it's going to be much easier to act on that or not react with whatever's happening in the situation. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, like, one of the things is if you get ahead of yourself and you're very attracted to the person, you want to have sex with them and you know, feel that energy or whatever with them, but there's a disconnect between they're the kind of person that I want. I mean, maybe there's a couple red flags. Maybe there's some things that you don't like about them, or you're just not there yet with them. It sounds like it'll influence you too much, because your chemicals in your brain, we talked about, you know, you talked about, you know, dopamine, like oxytocin, right?
Oxytocin,
that's like
that
bonding chemical
it
can mess with your brain, and then it can disrupt your, you know, your other mechanisms, your judgment, your things like that.
Yes. I mean, 100% it can. Yeah. It really can. And I think then I'm more likely to second guess my intuition if I have that other oxytocin feeling going on.
But that's not fun. I mean, that makes it sounds like you have to be a little bit more deliberate in dating. And I'll just point to, like, I remember getting into personal development, I studied Tony Robbins, and he had a big thing on this, and he was exactly what we're talking about. He said, make sure that they're compatible before you fall in love with them, you know, before you get intimate and romantic with them, because it's very hard to untie that once you kind of get involved, right?
Yeah.
So you have to have some discipline, it sounds like.
I think so, but I almost think that, so I did have a 4-month relationship this past year with someone who was it was definitely the best relationship I've ever been in. And he and I, from the start, like, probably he would have had sex earlier if it was up to him. But on the other hand, he also felt like there was value in getting to know each other first. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like me being like, no, I'm not ready. You know, it was like he understood and really did feel like it was valuable too. Mm-hmm. So if both people have that value, then I think that it's not like this really difficult thing, because you can still enjoy being physical without having an orgasm. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't have to be the end goal of enjoying your time with the other person.
So different levels of intimacy, you know, is what you're kind of getting at, being close, cuddling, spending the night, things like
there
that.
There we go.
Maybe not actually having sex or that type of thing. Well, that's challenging, but yes, I it sounds like making our brain, at least following what you said, like, you're curious about the person, you want to get to know them more, you have some intuition that they might be right for you, but you just want to give it enough time to kind of get going and make sure that they're a person that you want to give it up to. I shouldn't say give it up to, but you know what I mean. And then you talk about checking your energy. Like, what does that mean in terms of what we're talking about?
Yeah. So I think that within dating, I have to check in with myself a lot to be like, how am I feeling about this? So like recently, these last, you know, 6 months or so, I've been on a couple of dating apps and I did go on a couple of dates here and there. But the last 2 months I've talked to people and there just haven't been any connections. And I think there comes a point when we've gone swiping and then talking and nothing really comes about it. Like, my energy gets really low and I'm just like kind of over it for the time being. Mm. So I have to kind of be like, okay, let me take a break from this right now. And, you know, I don't have to go back on it, or when I feel the impulse, I will again. And so I have to take breaks because it expends a lot of energy for me to even put myself out there. And I even kind of check in with myself if I get on Bumble or whatever. And I don't even swipe that much. Like, before I start swiping, I'm like, what's my intention? What is it like? What am I just bored? Like, I don't want to just do it if I'm bored. Like, what's my point of doing this? So I guess I think that intentionality is important for me about it.
Yeah.
Because if it's not, then I'm like, what kind of energy am I really putting out there? Is that really going to attract somebody great if I'm just like bored and like, you know what I mean?
So it sounds like if you're bored and you have the wrong energy while you're swiping, you're not picking up on the cues that you might normally do when you're feeling better. Like,
that's a good point.
I hear you. So all these things put together, you really have to be intentional with this whole dating. And one question I had for you is, have you noticed a difference post-pandemic versus pandemic? I mean, did you even try to date during the pandemic? And then if you notice anything different since the pandemic has kind of eased a little bit, although not over.
You know, I barely dated in the pandemic. Like, before that, I hadn't. The first time I even went on a dating app pretty much was like summer 2020. I guess it was 2020. So yeah, the summer of the pandemic. So I did meet someone then and we dated for about a month. And that felt like he was in a desperate place and looking to just fill his time with a person. And so I got a little hurt from that one because I fell a little bit too hard into that. But you know, I got over it. And like, I feel like I'm strong enough now that I know that I'll be able to get out of something, you know, but that did feel like a pandemic thing, because I don't know if that would have happened if he hadn't been feeling really lonely, you know, and maybe me too. I don't know exactly, but, maybe so both of us.
You mentioned that's post-pandemic. You did have a good experience. You said you had like a 4 month relationship was the best relationship. Was there any particular reason why it didn't go further, or was there anything that red flags or anything that caused it not to go further?
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I have to try to find the balance between feeling super duper attracted to someone and that's why I'm going out with them, to someone who is more compatible and maybe it's not quite as bombastic, you know, and, you know, what is the middle ground there? I think I was kind of trying that out. And I did like this person. And we had a lot in common. But I just, after about 4 months, I just didn't really like him enough. And we hadn't said we loved each other or anything like that yet. And I was kind of like, wow, it's been 4 months and neither one of us has wanted to say that, which I think is kind of a long time. And I realized that I didn't think it was going to go any farther for me. I think that's as far as it was going to go. Like, I didn't think I was going to start liking him anymore. It was almost like starting to go the other direction.
But did you say, on the things that we're talking about today, do you think you kind of, you were in a good place, you were curious about him, you had good intuition, you kind of waited, you had good energy. So you felt like that was a good experience because you did all the things and it just didn't work out.
Yes. I think that it was the right way for me to date in the fact that he and I were both very open about what we wanted and understanding about what the other, we're very communicative. Like, we definitely communicated well. In a good level, like better than I had before with a partner. So I was proud of that, you know, I was glad. And so if I was going to have a relationship, I'd much rather a relationship be closer to that than something in the past that was, you know, super duper passionate, but very short lived.
Got it. So we kind of talked about, so there's some conditions that, you know, this was a good model for any of us to follow. And, you know, sometimes you just have to go through a lot of different people and you have to give people a chance. Unfortunately, it can take time. Is there anything else about dating? And I know that you want to mention your podcast because that's really important. And in context, dating, when you have some mental health challenges, you talk about trauma, different things, that definitely elevates, that makes, I guess the point is you have to really follow some of these guidelines even stronger to protect your own mental health, right? So
yeah.
Anything else you want to share about that?
Yeah. So let's see. So if I do think about my own self-care, yes. If thinking about how I've fallen into these patterns in the past and I want to change and move forward and how I'm going to do that, it is much more intentional, I think, for someone that has been through a lot and realizes that and wants to change. It has to be more intentional. But I don't think that it's less exciting, actually. I really don't see it that way. Like, to me, it's so exciting that I, like, actually know my values now. And I'm not, like, a loose cannon. I'm more, like, grounded. Like, that feels so much better to me than just, like, hoping that something's going to work out and hoping that this person will come around the bend that's going to make my life fun or something. And I think the last thing I did want to say was that with dating and the staying curious, the curiosity is also about ourselves, right? Because I was actually talking to my therapist about this last week because there was someone I was interested in and it didn't seem like they were that interested in me. And I was like, I feel a little bit rejected, even though really nothing happened with this person. And she's like, well, you know, listen to that part of you. Don't pretend like it's not there. Like, it feels rejected. But then she also was like, think of this as in something that you can learn about yourself. Like, you were wanting attention from this person and you didn't get it, but you can be curious about yourself. Like, it's not about that person. It's about the thing that you desired that was not being fulfilled and, like, be investigative towards that rather. So, I mean, it kind of opens up a new world. It's not all about dating. It's more like, how can we follow our own purpose and guidance in our life? And hopefully while we're doing that, eventually we'll find a partner that matches that.
Well, I want to say that I've definitely eavesdropped, or not eavesdropped, but listened to some of your podcasts. And I know you had a series that I really think if people want to go further with you about dating, well, about challenges with mental health or just dating in general, you have a whole series of episodes on dating, right?
That's true.
Tell us the name of your podcast and I'll put the links down below as well.
Okay. So my podcast is called Self-Care for Survivors of Trauma, and you can find it on Apple or Spotify, or there's other places, but those are the main two. And I did do a series of dating death traps in the last few months. And so I pretty much recount like six of my past relationships, and I kind of talk about what I did that I wouldn't want to do again, like what lessons I learned from each one. Yeah, I mostly focused on like my things that I needed to do better to hopefully find a good match in the future.
Well, Erin, thank you so much for sharing this with you. I think it's fascinating talking about dating. We haven't had a dating episode on this show, and I think I'm in the dating world right now too. So this is of particular interest to me as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Happy Brain. If you enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have an extra second, leave us an honest review over on iTunes or your Apple podcasting app. And until next time, my friends, keep that brain of yours happy.